So glad I'm here. 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 I can sing my song. I can sing my song. I can sing my song, can sing my song.
Oh, my, my, my.
I can sing my song.
Uh-huh.
I can sing my song.
Oh, well,
I can sing my song, can sing my song.
I can pray this prayer.
I can pray this prayer.
Uh-huh.
I can pray this prayer, can pray this prayer.
Yeah,
I can pray this prayer. I can pray this prayer. I can pray this prayer.
Look at me now. I can walk right in.
I can walk right in. I can walk right in. Can walk right in. I can walk right in. I can walk right in. I can walk right in. Walk right on in.
Hallelujah now. I can humble down.
I can humble down. I can humble down. Can humble down. I can humble down. I can humble down. I can humble down. Can humble down.
Oh, my, my, my. I shout out my name.
I shout
out my name. I shout out my name, shout out my name.
Listen to me.
I shout out my name.
You,
I shout out my name.
Right.
I shout out my name, shout out my name.
'Cause I am so glad I'm here.
So glad I'm here.
So glad I'm here. So glad I'm here. So glad I'm here.
Hallelujah. I am so glad.
So glad I'm here. So glad I'm here. So glad I'm here.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live 4-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
This is Eliana Paljug. I am 16 years old, and I'm a junior at Fox Chapel Area High School.
Hi, this is Brenna Kars. I'm 18 years old, and I'm a senior at Upper St. Clair High School. You're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. So we're really happy to be here. And Eliana, you were saying this morning that you saw something interesting on Facebook.
Yeah, I was actually scrolling through my newsfeed, and I saw something that Beyonce posted. She had posted something with the hashtag current, all about Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her hashtag was about nonviolence, and I think it's really important that we talk about that today because especially, you know, in our political environment that we see all around the world, nonviolence is such a trend that we really should be pursuing. And when we look towards Martin Luther King, we were talking earlier about how he was such a supporter of Mahatma Gandhi's nonviolent peace movements and how he actually traveled to India.
Yeah, he was greatly inspired by Gandhi. In 1959, he did go to India, actually, which is something I didn't know before today. And in his travels there, he really was inspired by how successful Gandhi was in being able to bring support for his movement without any violence.
Mm-hmm. Especially when he was obviously the leader of the Rosa Parks bus riot, which was such a big point of his career in promoting nonviolent peaceful protest.
Yeah, even though violence was against, people were violent against him, he still consistently supported the nonviolent ideas. When he led the bus riot against for Rosa Parks, his house was actually bombed afterwards, which is something I didn't know of, and he was put in jail. But still, he was always supportive of the nonviolent movement.
Mm-hmm. And that was such a big point that he actually won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964 and was the youngest person ever to do so. And then that also led towards the March on Washington in 1963. Did you want to talk about that, Elena?
Yeah, of course, everybody knows of the March on Washington and his famous speech that I Have a Dream is a part of our vernacular. People say it all the time. People know of that speech very well. But one thing you may not know is that part of the speech, that I Have a Dream section, was actually impromptu.
Yeah, it was. He had given that same sort of speech before when he was out in public giving that speech about having a dream for the future. But actually, because the March on Washington was such a big undertaking, Martin Luther King and his associates were more worried about the logistics of the march itself and how they were going to get so many people in Washington, D.C., and just, you know, crowd control, basically. He hadn't even thought about what he was going to say until he actually got there.
Yeah, JFK actually was helping get people to come. He encourages church groups and different people to come because he was worried that nobody would show up. Well, we all know that's not exactly what happened that day. Tons and tons of people were there. Almost 250,000 people attended, and it was the biggest protest in D.C. at the time.
Yeah, and so Martin Luther King was giving his speech and just sort of going on with what he would plan to say, and then a woman from the crowd actually shouted, "Tell them about the dream, Martin," which was what inspired him to say, "I have a dream." And I think that's one of the most effective points of the speech, is that whenever you're giving a speech in public, obviously using that sort of parallel structure is something that really resonates with an audience. So saying a phrase over and over, such as "I have a dream," is what's going to be memorable and people are going to take away with them after you're done giving the speech.
And the woman who spoke, who told him, tell them about the dream, that was Mahalia Jackson, who was actually a gospel singer of the time and a good friend of Martin Luther King. And I agree with you, definitely. That speech has resonated with people throughout time, and it's crazy to think that it may not have even been said. It was all impromptu.
That same woman actually performed, I think, on the March on Washington, definitely. And so you can keep an eye out today if you are interested in Martin Luther King's speeches to come down to the Children's Museum, because they're having people do readings of Martin Luther King's speeches.
Yeah, there's a podium upstairs actually by the entrance. I saw it where kids are going up and saying parts of his speech. I think it's great to bring Martin Luther's words to a new audience, to this new generation, because really they are timeless.
Yeah. The other thing that we wanted to talk about a little bit was that today is actually a day of service by the U.S. government. So over 100,000 care kits are being made by Operation Gratitude, by volunteers and participants. A lot of people are also writing letters to U.S. soldiers during this event every year in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, in Washington, D.C., all around the National Mall, there's a huge event all sponsored by this day of service. It's been pretty recently that they have decided to make Martin Luther King Day a day of service, because Martin Luther King really, really thought that service was a very important thing for all Americans to partake of.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of, because, you know, no one has school today. A lot of people are off of work. So I think taking that day out and using it to volunteer or to do some active community service is a really good way to remember Martin Luther King's message and just make yourself feel more like part of your community when maybe you don't have time to do that throughout your life just because of other obligations. But having that day off and having that sort of volunteerism is always a really good thing to do.
Yes, definitely. And even here around Pittsburgh, there are lots of events going on that are emphasizing that service idea. The food bank is open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., actually, to help for people to come and volunteer to help repack food.
Yeah, and in Edgewood today, the Habitat for Humanity is having improvement teams, so you can help out there if you want to.
Yeah, and in the Hill District, the 10th Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Blood Drive for Life is going on today from 1 to 6 p.m. So all great ways that people in the Pittsburgh community can help join in Martin Luther King's tenet of service.
Definitely. So I think that's something that everyone should really keep in mind today, just to maybe take just a few hours out of your day and go and volunteer, because it's important to keep that legacy going. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. If you like what you're hearing, please consider letting other people know that Streaming Justice continues until midnight at slbradio.org. We'd love to have your participation. Call or text us at 412-200-5975.
Awesome, and it's great to hear that people are tuning in to hear about this Streaming Justice. We think it's a great thing to bring Martin Luther King into the modern day.
between sundown's finish and midnight's broken tone. We duck inside the doorway, thunder crashing as majestic bells and bones struck shadows in these sounds, seeming to be the chimes of freedom flashing. Rushing for the warriors whose strength is not to fight. Flashing for the refugees on the unarmed road of flight. And for each and every underdog, soldier in the night. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. Slowly lifting, electric lights still struck like arrows, fired before the ones condemned to drift or else be kept from drifting. Tolling for the searching ones on their speechless seeking trail. For the lonesome hearted lovers with two personal tales. And for each unharmful channel soul misplaced inside a jail. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. As we listen one last time and we watch with one last look, spellbound and swallowed till the tolling ended. Tolling for the aching ones whose wounds cannot be nursed. Strung out ones and worse. And for every hung up person in the whole wide universe. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing.
Listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
Hi, everyone. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice. So, Eliana, you were telling me earlier about a trip that you took recently to Washington, D.C., and something cool that you saw there.
Yeah, actually, this summer I went to Washington, D.C. I had been there once when I was really little, but this was my first time going recently. And it was great to see there's a new Martin Luther King Memorial in D.C. It just opened in August 22nd in 2011. And it's really a really impressive monument. It's right next to the water in the National Mall. And it's designed around his line from his I Have a Dream speech, out of a mountain of despair, a stone of hope. So they have these big white pillars that are symbolizing the mountain of despair. And then there's another pillar that has King, like a statue of Martin Luther King on it. And he's like passing through the middle of the two pillars. So really bringing to life that quote of him being the stone of hope passing through.
Yeah, I love the symbolism with the two different stones and how he's in the middle, just sort of it's almost not as if it's just a statue of him. He's almost coming out of one of the pillars itself, sort of breaking through that barrier. And the other thing that I thought was really cool when you were showing me pictures of it was that there are tons of quotations from Dr. King all around the memorial itself. We were talking about some earlier that we thought were really inspiring, such as "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere."
Yeah, I actually saw that on the Amnesty International page today. They're using that as their call that everybody should be worried about the whole world now that we have reached, we are closer to reaching the civil rights in the U.S. from the African Americans, but we have to look at the whole world and make sure that, as he said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Definitely. So I think something else that we were talking about that we thought was really interesting was that during the opening of the memorial itself, President Obama actually came and gave a speech about the dedication. And the speech itself is really inspiring. He says, "Our work is not done. And so on this day in which we celebrate a man and a movement that did so much for this country, let us draw strength from those earlier struggles. First and foremost, let us remember that change has never been quick. Change has never been simple or without controversy. Change depends on persistence. Change requires determination. It took a full decade before the moral guidance of Brown v. Board of Education was translated into the enforcement measures of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. But those 10 long years did not lead Dr. King to give up. He kept on pushing, he kept on speaking, he kept on marching until change finally came. And then when, even after the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Act passed, African Americans still found themselves trapped in pockets of poverty across the country, Dr. King didn't say those laws were a failure. He didn't say this is too hard. He didn't say let's settle for what we've got and go home. Instead, he said, let's take those victories and broaden our mission to achieve not just civil and political equality, but also economic justice. Let's fight for a living wage and better schools and jobs for all who are willing to work. In other words, when met with hardship, when confronting disappointment, Dr. King refused to accept what he called the isness of today. He kept pushing forward towards the oughtness of tomorrow. And so I think that this is a message that we really should keep in mind when we're looking towards, you know, this is a new year, 2014. We should be keeping those messages in mind. All right, and now we're going to transition because we actually have a very special guest on our program right now. Mayor of Pittsburgh, Bill Peduto, is here, and we're so pleased to have him. So we're going to just ask him a few questions about Dr. Martin Luther King Day and his plans for today. So, hi, Mayor Peduto.
Hi, how are you? Great to be here. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in and joining SLB Radio.
So you do realize that I'm a fan of the show and have been for a couple decades. Back in the early 90s, every Saturday, and I've told Larry this so many times he gets bored of it, but I used to see how far I could listen to the Saturday Light Brigade on Saturday mornings as I'd drive up Interstate 79 when I was doing political work. And I played the games all the way up. That was my radio show of choice every Saturday morning.
Nice. So what are your plans for today for Martin Luther King Day?
Well, started off, I had my staff at a breakfast this morning at the Kingsley Association, and I went out to an event at the Animal Rescue League. And you may be saying, why at the Animal Rescue League, and what does that have to do with MLK? Well, MLK Day is about, it's about giving. It's about understanding that collectively we can do so much more than the sum of our parts. And today, our Pittsburgh paramedics went and they collected donations and they used their own capital in order to be able to make the largest physical donation to the Animal Rescue League.
Wow.
They did it because one of their colleagues who passed away loved animals. And in respect to him and to his wife, they made a large donation and they kept his legacy going by donating 28 oxygen masks for pets. So
oh, wow.
We've never had that in our force before. So now every paramedic truck, every ambulance that appears at a fire or anything else will have a mask for a dog or a cat, and then also to be able to have them at the Animal Rescue League. So once we transport them to ARL, they'll be able to put the mask on and be able to save the lives of pets. I'm here to be with the next generation, I call my little burgers, to make sure that they understand the importance and the legacy of Dr. King. I'm going to be upstairs giving at least one speech. Then I'm off to two other locations, the Kelly Strayhorn Theater in East Liberty and then Eastminster Church in East Liberty as well, as community gathers together to remember the legacy of Dr. King. But one last thing, I know I'm talking a lot. Dr. King is one of my heroes. So I don't have political heroes in the sense of the, like, who's your favorite politician type stuff. I look at Dr. King, Mahatma Gandhi, and Mother Teresa as examples of true leaders. They were never one to be, you know, the consensus builder moving towards the middle. They were the ones who understood right and wrong and pushed consensus towards what they believed. And there's a great quote by Dr. King that talks to that. And, you know, one last suggestion to anybody who wants to know more. Do a very simple thing. Go on Google, and I'm pushing Google, yes, product pushing. they are in our city, so I like them. Go to Google and just type in MLK quotes. That's it, MLK quotes. And then start looking through the words that he spoke, and you'll understand that there's one common thread, courage.
Mm-hmm. And that transcends all political lines, definitely.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. It's a simple way of looking at things and deciding what is right.
Definitely. Well, we think...
Not right. I mean, you know, because I'm more on the left of the aisle, but what is proper and correct.
What's moral. Yes. Definitely. Well, we thank you for being here. We know
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks.
Yeah, we know you have a really busy day today, so thank you for taking time out and coming to talk to us.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing you too, Larry, the silent one over on the side.
All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you on your way?
listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
Hi, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. If you like what you're hearing, please consider letting other people know that Streaming Justice continues until midnight at slbradio.org.
Yep, and as we said before, I'm Eliana Peljic from Fox Chapel Area High School.
And I'm Brenna Kars from Upper St. Clair.
So we were just had a very exciting visitor. The mayor of Pittsburgh just stopped by, and one thing that he talked about was Martin Luther King's quotes. And as we were just saying, those are inscribed all around the memorial in D.C.
Definitely. One that we both agreed was like one of our favorites is that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And I think that was probably the quote that Mayor Peduto was talking about when he was saying, you know, if you just go online and Google MLK quotes, you're going to get so many inspiring results.
Mm-hmm. And that quote definitely, it comes from a part of the Bible. As we know, Martin Luther King was a pastor, and his faith was really important to him. But the idea that instead of combating hate with hate, you combat hate with love, that was one of Martin Luther King's quintessential tenets of his movement. And then another quote that we thought was very inspiring is when he said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy."
Yeah, it sort of speaks to that idea that your true character comes out when you're faced with a situation that isn't really in your comfort zone, when you're pushed outside of your comfort zone and you have to sort of make decisions that are unlike the decisions that you have to make every day. That's when your true character is really going to come out.
And for Martin Luther King, that's when his courage truly came out. As the mayor had said, Martin Luther King's courage was incredible. He was in jail over 30 times. He was imprisoned, but he still continued to fight for the cause as people were making threats against him all the time.
Mm-hmm. And his letters that he wrote from jail are some of the most inspiring pieces of writing that you're ever going to read. And it's interesting to see that a person who could be in jail and be in such a dark place is able to write about such an inspiring and positive message for the people that were outside of jail that still supported him.
Mm-hmm. And his writing has also inspired other writers. Maya Angelou, a very famous poet and writer mm-hmm. of our time, for the dedication of this memorial in D.C., actually composed a new poem about Martin Luther King entitled Abundant Hope. And we're actually going to read that for you all now. Reverend Martin Luther King, the great soul, flew from the Creator, bearing manna of hope for his country, starving severely from an absence of compassion. Martin Luther King, the great spirit, came from the Creator, proffering a sparkling fountain of fair play to his country, parched and deformed by hate. The whole man came forth, with a brain of gentle wisdom, to persuade quiet upon the loud misery of the mob. A whole man stood out, with a mellifluous voice, to bind the joints of cruelty. A whole man came, in the midst of a murderous nightmare. Surrounded by demons of war, he dared to dream peace and serenity. With a heart of faith, he hoped to resurrect his nation. I open my mouth to the Lord, and I won't turn back. Martin Luther King faced the racial mountain of segregation and bade it move. The giant mound of human ignorance, centuries old and rigid in its determination, did move, however slightly, however infinitesimally, it did move. I will go, I shall go, I'll see what the end will be. Martin Luther King brought winds of healing to his country, reeling unsteady with the illness of racial prejudice. Screams of vulgarity could not silence him. Fire bombs and dogs could not take his voice away. On my knees, I told God how you treated me. On my knees.
He knew himself a child of God on a mission from God and standing in the hand of God. He spoke of the hideous hearts into the bitter monstrosities and asked them to transform their ways and thereby liberate his country. Representing the grace of heaven, he spoke to the evils of hell. Representing gentleness, he sang to brutes. He brought the great songs of faith, persuading men and women to think beyond their baser nature. Lord, don't move mountains, just give me the strength to climb it. He hummed the old gospels, encouraging the folk to act beyond their puny selves. You don't have to move that stumbling block, Lord, just lead me around it. leader to those who would be led and heroes to millions. Martin Luther King was father to Yolanda, Martin, Dexter, and Bernice. He was lover, friend, and husband to Corsetta Scott King. He spoke respectfully of the Torah. He spoke respectfully of the Quran. In India, walking in the footprints of Mahatma Gandhi, Christianity made him patient with all religions, and his tremendous heart made him believe that all people were his people. All creeds and cultures were comfortable in his giant embrace, and all just causes were his to support and extol through sermons and elocutions with praise songs and orations. He preached fair play and serenity from handcuffs and prison garb, from iron legs and prison bars. He taught triumph over loss and love over despair, hallelujah over the dirges and joy over moaning. Fear not, we've come too far to turn back. We are not afraid, and we shall overcome, we shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. So wow. Again, that was Abundant Hope by Maya Angelou, which was the poem that she wrote for the dedication of the Martin Luther King Memorial in Washington, D.C. in 2011. Another place where we see a lot of inspiring work from Martin Luther King is actually in the city of Pittsburgh. Carnegie Mellon hosted annually the Martin Luther King Day Junior Writing Awards to encourage students to relate their experiences with race and discrimination. And actually in the Sunday paper yesterday, all of these poems and prose pieces that were written by high school students and college students in the area were published, and some of them are pretty professional grade for college and high school students. And actually, right now at 12:30, these students are reading their poems at the CMU campus. So we can see even on our home turf in Pittsburgh, Martin Luther King is inspiring some pretty good writing from a lot of people in the area.
Definitely. It's great to see how Martin Luther King is not locked in the past. He's inspiring people today and will continue to inspire people in the future for his incredible courage and the incredible difference that he gave to America towards the civil rights movement. As we read through Maya Angelou's poem, I think one thing, as we've discussed, that's really powerful is how he didn't want to just combat the people that were against him. He wanted to be able to work with them and reach a consensus together through the nonviolence that we spoke of earlier. And that's still a really important thing, that's still a really big idea today. People all around the world, there's tons of conflict, but we have seen people always striving towards nonviolence.
Yeah, and I think that we both would agree that one of the people that we can see throughout the world that really pursues that idea of nonviolent peaceful protest is Malala. And we all remember from, I guess it was about 2 years ago now, that a young Pakistani girl named Malala was actually shot by the Taliban. But in many interviews that she gave afterwards, she never spoke of harming other people and to get revenge for what's happened to her, or some sort of to like avenge her family or anything like that. She just spoke of the only way that we're going to make meaningful change in the future is if we pursue these nonviolent protests. And I think that's really important because she's, 16 years old?
Yeah, she's the same age as us, which is crazy to think that. She also is inspiring this nonviolent mantra. There's a specific interview that went viral online. I saw everybody posting it, where the reporter asked her, "What would you do if the Taliban came back?" Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And at first she said, "Oh, I'd hit him with a shoe," but then she spoke. She changed her mind, and then she said, "Well, I would never do that, actually. I wouldn't hit him with a shoe because then I would be just as bad as the Taliban. We can't." And her message, we can't combat hate with hate. We need to reach for that bigger pledge of nonviolent cooperation.
Yeah. I think that was actually on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And, you know, he's a comedian, but he was giving this interview with her, and he was so blown away by her maturity and just the thoughts that she had are not what you typically think of coming out of a 16-year-old girl. So he was just so blown away. He couldn't even, he didn't even want to make a joke about it, even though he's a comedian. He just sat there just completely awestruck. And I thought that was a really kind of funny moment because it was taking him out of his element a little bit. But she was just owning it. She was so out of everyone's league. It was insane. And I think that when we kind of look towards media in general, there's a tendency to focus on the negative around the world. I think Malala was the first person in a really long time that, garnered attention because of her nonviolence and her pursuit of that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Mm-hmm. There was another instance recently of another boy, I believe also from Pakistan, who was in school, and there was a threat of a bomb exploding in the school. And rather than, you know, run from the building because he needed to save himself and not worry about his other classmates, he actually threw himself on top of that bomb
and
sacrificed his life so that he could save the other students in the school. And I read it online, but I never really heard it covered anywhere else, because there's such a tendency to not focus on peace and not focus on nonviolence, you know, because there's that saying, if it bleeds, it leads, in terms of news and media, where if something is tragic or violent, that's what's going to be talked about. So we never hear about those things, really.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's great on Martin Luther King Day. We go back to all the good that can come out of a nonviolent movement. We all know the impact that Martin Luther King had. As we have discussed, you see it today through poetry of everything from Maya Angelou to high school and college students and mm-hmm. people in D.C., pledging their day to service. It's great that we have this Martin Luther King Day to reflect on the good that can come out of nonviolent protest.
Another poem that we also really liked is from another American poet, Langston Hughes, who's really well known, obviously, and it's entitled Let America Be America Again. So we're going to read that one for you now. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great strong land of love where never kings connive or tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark, and who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek, and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean, hungry yet today despite the dream, beaten yet today, O pioneers. I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. I am the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings, and every brick and stone and every furrow turned. That's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be in my home. For I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lea and tore from black Africa's strand I came to build a homeland of the free.
The free? Who said the free? Not me? Surely not me. The millions on relief today? The millions shot down when we strike? The millions who have nothing for our pay? For all the dreams we dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung. The millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me. Who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain, must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose, the steel of freedom does not stain. For those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh yes, I say it plain, America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we, the people, must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain, all the stretches of these great green states, and make America again.
If you will find your We have been called upon and have heard the voice of democracy said, get up from where you are and go to a land that I will show you all.
Yes,
and we are marching there. We marched there 700 strong to jail.
Yes,
we are assembled here tonight at Union and Arcadia, yes, and we shall continue to assemble and to march until we get to that goal of our lives. Light a candle, if you will. And the light that you get from that candle is coming from the wax of the candle. And as it burns, the candle is perishing. Everything shines by perishing. I'm told that the sun is burning itself out at a rapid rate of speed. It's shining by perishing. And even you and me in this orbit of movement, if we are to be significant parts, we got to shine. We got to give of ourselves. And when we give of ourselves, we're shining. Not only in orbit, but to the world around, saying that the Negro can do without.
Yes.
The Negro can stand together.
Yes.
The Negro can protest together.
Yes.
The things that he think are right and justly here.
Yes.
We're going to stand together.
Listening to Streaming Justice, a live four-hour webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, and hosted by teens from throughout the region at SLB Radio Studios in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, and in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. If you like what you're hearing, please consider letting other people know that Streaming Justice continues until midnight at slbradio.org.
Again, I'm Brenna Kars from Upper St. Clair.
And I'm Eliana Paljug from Fox Chapel. And if we'd love to have your participation to all of our listeners, feel free to call or text us at 412-200-5975.
Especially now, because we really want to see participation from our audience, because we want to ask you questions about how you think civil rights is, how it is in 2014 and in the 21st century, and whether or not you think we're close to reaching Dr. Martin Luther King's dream that he had for our future. We were talking about how earlier we were talking about Malala and the boy that sacrificed himself for students at his school in Pakistan. And we see instances of civil rights acts being performed all over the world, but we don't really hear about them as much as we should.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that Martin Luther King definitely emphasized in his travels to India and all over the world, that it's not just about the U.S., it's not just about what's happening here at home. His one quote was, make a career of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. So I think that global aspect of Martin Luther King's message really is important for all of us to know.
Yeah, and actually, Eliana and I, an experience that we actually met each other through was about a year and a half ago. We had the fortunate opportunity to attend the One Young World Summit that was held in Pittsburgh in October of 2012. And it was so inspiring because the summit just brought together delegates from all around the world who were young people in their 20s who were pursuing these acts of equality and just any way that they could help out in whatever corner of the world they were from, that's what they were pursuing.
Mm-hmm, definitely. One Young World was incredible for that very reason. A global citizen was the idea of the day. We're not just citizens of America, we're citizens of the world. And as Martin Luther King has said, injustice everywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yeah, one delegate that I remember we met and really had a strong connection with was a woman. She was the only female delegate to attend from Afghanistan, and her name was Asma. And it was just so inspiring to hear her story because she came from such a different part of the world. It was kind of, it was crazy to hear about her everyday experiences. Like, even just coming to the United States to attend this summit was such a struggle for her and her family because there was such a stigma against a woman traveling internationally where she was from.
Definitely. And I think the whole One Young World summit really personifies this idea of Martin Luther King's message, Martin Luther King's pledge of being courageously fighting for freedom, fighting for civil rights, fighting for the poorest, the people that are struggling all over the world. That's who Martin Luther King stood up for. And there are plenty of those people in this world today mm-hmm. that need our help.
And Asma definitely personified that message because in Afghanistan, the work that she was doing was with an orphanage for children in Afghanistan who had nowhere else to go, basically. And it was such, you know, she was working so beyond herself. She was caring so much about other people that the fact of, you know, caring about herself didn't really even cross her mind as her first concern. It was she always was caring about other people around her.
Definitely similar to Martin Luther King in his many sacrifices. He knew that people were always threatening him. He knew that he was in danger. As we said, his house got bombed after he supported Rosa Parks with the bus riots. And he still always strived for freedom. He always stayed strong with his message.
Mm-hmm. So we would, again, love to hear from you. If you want to call or text us, you can do so at 412-200-5975, especially because we want to hear your thoughts about civil rights and equality in the 21st century and where you think we're headed, basically, in the future. Another issue that we were talking about earlier was the fact that the Winter Olympics are coming up, and there's a lot of concern about civil rights in Russia and how people are being treated in just basically in Russia overall. It's been quite a political issue, but also a humanitarian issue, something that a lot of people have different opinions about. So if you'd want to call in and talk about that, or you could talk about the civil rights in the United States, anything basically. So mm-hmm. that's, again, 412-200-5975.
And I think to close this off, we have one more poem that we'd like to read by Nordette Adams, and it's about remembering Martin Luther King's life. I remember him in the misted vision of toddler years and again in girlhood, the booming voice on TV, someone grown-ups talked about, eyes flapped wide, elders huddled round the screen enraptured, in fear for him, in awe.
I remember him, his words swept the land, singing our passion. Dogs growled in the streets, men in the sheets, police battered my people, water, a weapon, yet my people would rejoice and mourn.
I remember him, a fearsome warrior crying for peace, a man blemished by clay, the stain of sin as any other, calling on the rock, death's sickle on his coattails, yet he spied glory.
Shall we walk again and remember him? Not as the Madison Aveners do, but in solitude and hope, with acts of courage and compassion, with lives of greater scope carving fresh paths of righteousness?
I remember. That was Remembering a Life by Nordette Adams. So it has been absolutely fantastic to be here today at SLB Radio. We're really happy that we have been given this opportunity to talk about Martin Luther King because he is relevant not only for the past, but for today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much to everybody who has tuned in, and we really hope that you enjoyed our conversation.
And next up, you're going to be hearing from Zainab Adisa,
Simran Parwani,
and Cassidy McDonald.
So thank you so much for tuning into SLB Radio's Streaming Justice.